Thank you, Brother James. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Sad day today. We've finally come to the end of the book of Genesis. And I'm feeling a little bit emotional. Not too sure what to do now. I guess it is only one of 66 books in the Bible. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 to 26, have our last event recorded. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 to 26. And this passage of scripture deals with the death of Joseph. Let's read verse 22 and 23, and then we will pray. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 and 23. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would now teach us from your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the book of Genesis begins with God, life. And the book ends with man, death. This is the end result of sin. For the Bible teaches us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we study this final passage of Scripture, let's see what we can learn about life and death from this last event recorded within the book of Genesis. The first point I'd like to make this morning is that Joseph continued to dwell in Egypt. No doubt in the same role. Note then verse number 22, it reads, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt." He continued to live in Egypt, and we would assume, safely assume, fulfilling the same role. And I'd like to draw the application from that concerning life. And while we have life and breath, it is important that you and I stay put, that we learn to stay put until God leads us on to the next stage. It's been well said that our lives are likened to a book containing chapter divisions. The number of chapters within a book is determined by the content and by the purpose of the author. Our lives are made up of chapters, are they not? Stay put until God leads you to the next stage of life. I'm so glad that God moved me off the stage of singleness to marriage. And then from there, God moved me on from marriage to parenting. I remember that God so clearly led me from a Bible college student to being a youth pastor. Then from being a youth pastor to being an evangelist. And then to be from an evangelist to a pastor. A closed door is usually confirmed with an open door. And you and I, if we were to stop and think about it, why did Joseph stay in Egypt? He was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. He was very wealthy. He had great influence. How is it that he stayed put? I believe he stayed put because that's where God put him, in God's providence. He said to his own brothers, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." And obviously, it wasn't time for Joseph to lead his family back into the promised land. See, if God wants you to quit your job, you better have another job to go to. Otherwise, I'd ask the question, has God really led you to quit that job? See, normally the way it works is a closed door leads to an open door. I could see that God was closing the door for me as an evangelist all those years ago. And in that, God opened up a door to the pastorate. That's usually how God works. And don't think that you and I are the exception, because probably we are not. Joseph remained in Egypt. He stayed put. So I see within his life consistency. I see within his life continuity. The Bible says that Joseph dwelt in Egypt. You might say, well, Pastor, that's very, very obvious. Think about it. He was second in charge to Pharaoh. He had influence, he had power, he had authority. Why didn't he just pack his family back with all of his food supplies and just go back to Egypt? I'm telling you why, because God hadn't moved him on. See, he dwelt in Egypt and he stayed put. So let me encourage you, beloved, as we consider life and death, consistency is the key. God will honor faithfulness, God will honor consistency, and I see within the life of Joseph continuity, consistency. And the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 22 that Joseph lived to a ripe old age of 110. So we not only see Joseph dwelling in Egypt, but secondly, we see his duration. Joseph lived to the age of 110. In the early chapters of the book of Genesis, we read of people living up to 969. Methuselah lived up to 969. Adam, I don't think he deserved to. Talk about the grace of God. I thought about this last night. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. That man was Adam, and God in his graciousness allowed him to live 930 years. Now, if that's not the grace of God, what is the grace of God? But down through time, we see that that average longevity element decreased and decreased and decreased. And the Bible teaches us that today, God promises 70. That is 70. And when you and I reach beyond that point, we are really under the grace of God. And that's God's graciousness. Joseph lived to 110. He was 56 when Jacob died. And he lived on in all the splendor of Egypt within this position for another 54 years. So Joseph lived the majority of his life in Egypt, minus 17 years. And the point I want to make is this, beloved, you and I as God's people need to value the days, the years that God has given to us. In Psalm 90, verse number 12, the Bible reads, in Psalm 90, verse number 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The first point we made about Joseph was that he dwelt in Egypt. He stayed put. He could have gone back. Secondly, we note his duration. He lived to a ripe old age of 110. And may God help us to value the fact that you and I were able to get up this morning. I thank God this morning that I could get up out of bed. Didn't want to get up out of bed, but I had the ability to get up out of bed. And as you get a little bit older, you tend to value life just a little bit more. You don't take it for granted as you once did. And I want to encourage you, beloved, to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We are not here as Bible-believing Christians to kill time. What a horrid statement. I'm just killing time. Horrid statement. We need to redeem the time. Make the most of the time. Honour God with the time and honour the Lord. And there's no doubt that Joseph, for those 54 years following his father's passing away, he continued to honour God. He continued to look after his family. So may God help us to number our days that we might apply ourselves unto wisdom. And we see that in the following verse, that he did redeem the time, because no doubt he invested in his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. Note there in verse number 23. Note the delight within the life of Joseph. His delight was that he was a great-grandfather. He got to be with his sons. He got to be with his sons as well. And he was a great-grandfather. What a blessing it must have been. Note then verse number 23, it reads, "And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Micah, the son of Manasseh." So there's Manasseh, Micah, grandson, and his sons, great-grandchildren. And note this next little phrase, "were brought up upon Joseph's knees." Now, within the biblical setting, within the cultural thing, you would take a child, you would place them on their, you would place them on your knee, and you would bless them, and you would instruct them, and you would nurture them. So what this conveys to you and I is that Joseph redeemed the time, and he invested in his great-grandchildren. He invested, he not only delighted in the fact that he was blessed to have great-grandchildren, but also he invested in them, for the Bible teaches us that he placed them upon his knees. See, Joseph was rewarded with the blessing of having family close by. And no doubt he had some influence upon them, and even within the lives of his great-grandchildren. My friend, this morning, may I remind you and I as God's people, God is good to all. The Bible teaches us rain falls upon the just and the unjust. And especially for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, God is good to us. It's okay to say amen. Okay, the Prime Minister didn't say we can't say amen. And not even the Health Minister didn't say we can't say amen. So God's people need to speak up and say amen concerning the goodness of God. We have a lot to thank God for. Our God is good to us. And God was good to Joseph. God blessed Joseph with great-grandchildren. And we read that he had those great-grandchildren on his knees, no doubt instructing them, encouraging them concerning the God of Israel. May God help us to be grateful for what we have and stop complaining about what we don't have. We're to thank God for good health. We're to thank God for the provision of our needs. We're to thank God for our relationships. We're to be thankful. I thank God that I've got one wife. I don't need two. I thank God I've got one daughter. I don't need two. I thank God I've got two sons. I don't need four. I definitely don't need four. We ought to thank God for what we have and bless Him. And I believe that no doubt Joseph was delighted in what God had provided. God had given him the honor. He's only 110 years of age, and he gets to instruct and encourage his great-grandchildren. And no doubt he was thankful for that. May God help us to be thankful for what we have. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's read on verse number 24. And note what the Bible says. "And Joseph said unto his brethren,
I die. I die. Brothers, I'm going to die. I'm up to 110. My time is imminent. I die. He faced the fact of death. He did not deny the fact that death is imminent. See, the Egyptian pharaohs saw themselves as gods, and that they would simply live on into the next life. But Joseph said, I die. It's a profound statement. I die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. In Amos, we are told, prepare to meet thy God. Congratulations to the media in convincing us, it seems, the only way you can possibly die today is via the coronavirus. So therefore, if you can avoid the coronavirus, you're okay. You won't die. You know, if you use your Johnson & Johnson hand sanitizer, you maintain your social distancing, you go for a jog and walk every now and again, you stock up on toilet paper, pasta, rice and flour, and you set aside any elective surgery, then you'll be okay. May I remind you, child of God, yes, you probably will not die of the coronavirus. Because our country has 25 million people. Out of 25 million people, some 7,000 have got the virus. And out of 7,000, only just over 100, if they really did die of the coronavirus, have died from it. And the average age of those that died was 75. Work it out, beloved. But if you look at your statistics, you will find that in Australia, 450 people die every single day. Every single day. Beloved, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And we are so hyped up about dying or possibly dying of coronavirus, my friend, you and I are going to die one way or another. And we need to be prepared to meet our God. And I believe when Joseph was saying, I die, I believe Joseph was saying, I'm ready. I'm okay. I'm ready. God's given me 110 years. I'm okay. The Apostle Paul said, to die is what? What? One more time. It doesn't say loss. So what are you worried about? What are you worried about? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. What are we worried about? May God help us to value life, yes. But at the same time, let's prepare to meet our God. See, the death angel will get you sooner or later. More than likely, it will not be via the coronavirus. That might disappoint you, maybe. It seems like it's almost like a prestige to die of the coronavirus. You'll be famous. But the death angel will get you. And may God help us to number our days. May God help us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. And may God help us to make sure that we are prepared to meet our God. And we can prepare to meet our God by receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior and giving our lives fully to him. See, for the child of God, he has the hope of eternal life. To die is gain. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And when Joseph said to his brothers, I die, I do believe in essence he was saying, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm prepared to die. I'm going to a better place. I trust that you and I have that same hope. And then note what
the verse goes on to read, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So Joseph informs his brothers concerning his death. And then he goes on to provide some direction. Joseph gives some forward direction. He reveals what God is going to do in the future. Joseph said, God, he will visit you and he will lead you back to the promised land. Egypt is not your permanent home. So brethren, don't get too comfortable. Keep your spiritual bags packed by laying up treasure in heaven, for Jesus Christ will visit you. The rapture is imminent, and it could be even today, and even so, come Lord Jesus, said the people of God. And you and I need to have our spiritual bags packed and be ready for eternity, because Jesus Christ is coming again. God will visit you. Jesus said, I will come again. So be ready, said Joseph to his siblings. God will visit you. The wisdom of the ant from the Proverbs is forward planning, thinking, preparing for the future. And Joseph is revealing to his own brothers that you need to prepare for a move. You need to prepare your children and your children's children for this move, because there is coming a day when God is going to come. He's going to visit you. And he's going to take you back home, your true home, your real home. So Joseph gives some direction. He provides some hope. Yes, we need to be prepared for eternity. And until that stage comes, may God help us to live with hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then note then verse number 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. And you shall carry up my bones from hence. Joseph was consistent. He said, I'm going to stay put, and I believe God would have me to stay put. Now, when God does visit you, I want you to carry my bones back with you to the promised land. So here in verse number 25, Joseph gets his brothers to make a commitment that when God does visit and when God does lead the people of God back to the promised land, he gets a commitment from them that they will carry his bones back to the promised land. Now the obvious question is, why was Joseph so pedantic about having his remains transported back to the land of promise? I believe he was consistent with his charge to his brethren when he said to them, God's going to visit you, God's going to lead you back, so don't get too comfortable. But I believe at the very core of Joseph's heart was that he wanted to be identified with his spiritual heritage. See, Joseph was a Hebrew. He wasn't an Egyptian. Yes, he spent the majority of his life there in Egypt, but he was a Hebrew. And he wanted his remains to go back to the promised land. He wanted to be identified with the people of God. My friend this morning, are you of this world, the Egyptians, or are you of God? Who do you identify with?
Are you of this world, the Egyptians, or are you of God, the eternal realm? See, in Acts chapter 9, it talks about God's people as being referred to as a people that follow a way, the people of the way. And then in Acts chapter 11, these Christians were called Christians. And church history is all about genuine Christians that identify with Jesus Christ and pay the ultimate price of martyrdom by their identification with their Savior. And beloved, when we come out of our homes and we assemble in a locality as a New Testament church, we are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are. It is He that established the New Testament church. The New Testament church is a spiritual organism. And it's made up of men, women, and children that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So don't get too comfortable with this live streaming method. We're thankful for it, but it falls short of the biblical mandate of assembling together. It is not locality. See, when you study the word church, it means assemble. It means locality. It's like having baptism without immersion. Because the word baptism means to immerse. And you can't have church without assembling. This is the New Testament church. And it's God's will for God's people to assemble in a locality. See, and when God's people upon the risen Christ met and assembled locally, they were identifying with Jesus Christ. They were identifying with Jesus Christ. That's why we need to collectively worship as a people, because we identify with Jesus Christ. God's people assembled and they worshiped the Lord on the first day of the week to identify with their risen Christ. And when Joseph said to his brothers, God's going to visit you and God's going to lead you back. And when you go back, take my bones with you. Joseph was wanting to make it very clear that he was a Hebrew, that he worshipped the one and true and living God. That's why he wanted his remains to be permanently rest in the land of promise. And this final crowning statement of faith earned Joseph a place in God's hall of fame there in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 22. Note what it reads. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So Joseph is mentioned in the Hall of Fame for the simple fact that he made known to the people of God that they will one day return to the land of promise. And he is mentioned in this hall of fame for the fact that he gave instruction concerning his remains. Think about it. So Joseph is added to Hebrews chapter 11 upon the basis of what he said will happen in the future, and upon the basis of the fact that he said, I want my bones to be taken back with you. Now, if you and I were God, and we're not, so don't get any ideas, We might have qualified Joseph into the Hall of Fame based upon the fact that via Joseph a nation was spared. His victory over temptation. His great administration skills. But no, Joseph is mentioned in the Hall of Fame, and the reason why he's mentioned is because Joseph said, I want my bones to be carried back to the promised land. That was a step of faith. He believed it so much. He believed that it would happen. That he said, I want my bones. I so believe that God is true that I want my bones to be carried back with you. That's why his name was placed in Hebrews chapter 11. And then last but not least, note then verse 26 of Genesis 50. I'm almost done. Verse 26, it reads, so Joseph died. And so will you, and so will I. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So Joseph died. I trust that you are prepared to meet your Creator. To the last verse of the book of Genesis, has an abrupt ending. Don't you think? So Joseph died. Being in 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Pretty abrupt, isn't it? I think it's abrupt. So Joseph died. His body is embalmed and he is placed in a coffin. And the book of Genesis ends. It begins with the glory of creation, the book of Genesis. And it ends with a coffin. It begins with the vastness of eternity and ends with the shortness of life. It begins with the living God. It ends with a dead man. It begins with a blaze of brightness in heaven where God said, let there be light. And it ends with a box of bones in Egypt. That is the Holy Spirit's final comment in the book on the nature and tragedy of human sin. And that is the final exposure of the devil's lie. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3, he said to Eve, you won't die. Thou shalt not surely die. So Joseph died. And my friend, death is imminent. And I challenge you to prepare to meet thy God. God who gives life will take it away in due time. So let's live for the afterlife. Let's live for eternity. For this life will soon pass and only what is done for Christ will last. Let's dwell. Let's be consistent. Duration. Let's make the most of the blessings that God gives to us. Let's delight in all that God gives to us and redeem the time. But let's be sobered by the fact that death is only around the corner.
But we have a hope, the hope of eternal life. We have direction. And let's be determined like Joseph of old. He said that when you go back to the promised land, I want you to promise me that you'll carry my bones back to the land of promise. Determination. Direction. The same God who lived in Joseph's life also lives in your life and my life as a Bible-believing Christian. Let's honor Him. Our time is short. Eternity is just around the corner. The book of Genesis begins with life, but it ends with death. But not death without hope. In Jesus Christ we have hope, do we not? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So let me encourage you, beloved, concerning life and death, let's honor our God. Let's serve Him wholeheartedly. Let's be thankful for what we have. And let's lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Let's bow for prayer.